Hey everyone, this is Jason Verlinde, the publisher of the Fretboard Journal. This is the Fretboard Journal's 65th podcast. It's been a long, long time. I apologize for the delay between podcasts. We've been really busy here at the Fretboard Journal headquarters in Seattle. A brand new issue, Fretboard Journal number 30, is about to mail out to subscribers everywhere. We've done a little bit of a redesign to the magazine. Don't freak out, everybody. Just tweak the cover a little bit, tweak some of the features inside. I'm really happy with it. I think you will be too. Steve Martin is on the cover of that issue. We got into a very deep conversation about banjos and a lot more. Also, younger artists, the Milk Carton Kids, who are phenomenal. Can't say enough good things about those guys, are in that issue 30. We also have Al Jardine of the Beach Boys, Asher Guitars, and a whole lot more. So if you haven't subscribed yet, go to fretboardjournal.com and click on the subscribe link, and we'll make sure you get that. On this week's podcast, I am talking to Fletcher Bright and Bill Evans. Bill Evans is no stranger to the fretboardjournal.com site. I guess it was about a year ago he came by and in 14 minutes walked us through the history of the banjo from its earliest roots all the way up to an Alan Beardsell banjo that was quite forward-thinking and cool and electric. Bill Evans is primarily known, I think, as a progressive bluegrass player from the Bay Area. He teams up with Fletcher Bright, who is definitely an old-school, old-time fiddler from the South. They have a great record called Fine Times at Fletcher's House, and you're actually going to hear a tune from that record on this week's podcast via the magic of Skype. We were all able to get together and make that happen. There's a bunch of other great stuff showing up on fretboardjournal.com I want folks to check out, including some new videos. We've got some videos brewing with Bill Frizzell, as well as Kenny and Amanda Smith, and a lot more. So go to fretboardjournal.com if you haven't yet, and I hope you enjoy this week's podcast. Thanks so much. With us is Bill Evans and Fletcher Bright. Where are you guys at right now?
Well, we're in Fairview, Tennessee, which is about 45 minutes west of Nashville at Camp Marymount, and we are teaching at the Nash Camp Bluegrass Week. I'm teaching banjo and Fletcher's teaching fiddle, and we've got Matt Flinner here on mandolin. Tim May is teaching guitar. Tim Stafford's teaching vocals, and Missy Raines is teaching bass, and we've got about 50 students from all over the world.
That sounds like a pretty nice camp. You guys just came out with a duo record, and I was hoping you could kind of describe how it came together and the recording process.
Okay, this is Fletcher, and we have been teaching at these camps for quite a number of years. That's how we got acquainted. And we have threatened to do a CD for years. And I am, I think it's safe to say, I'm a senior citizen. So I told Bill if we were going to do this CD, we better get on it. So last December, he flew from California to my house, which is on Lookout Mountain near Chattanooga. And we had a sound engineer come up to my house, and we sat down there for a couple of days and played some tunes.
We don't do a lot with fiddles in the Fretboard Journal because you don't have frets, but can you tell me, Fletcher, a little bit about the instrument you played on it?
Well, the instrument I played, of course, is a fiddle. It was made by Jonathan Cooper. Mm-hmm. He lives in Portland, Maine, I believe.
Yes, he does.
And is quite a good maker. And I bought it from him just a short time ago. And so that was my instrument. And Bill was playing a Granada of some description, I think, rather costly one, I might add.
Yeah, that's the banjo I've got here with me at camp today. And this is a banjo that belonged to Sonny Osborne at one point in time, and I've owned it for about 5 years. This is not the Granada that Sonny has been associated with for many years in his career, but it was another one that he had owned at one point in time, 1930 banjo.
And Fletcher, you play a new instrument just because you prefer the reliability and the tone, or do you have vintage fiddles as well?
I've got too many.
Okay.
Of course, but I've got them all the way back into the some good ones, antique fiddles, Galliano fiddles, but I like Jonathan's work, and there's a certain advantage to the new fiddles. They stay in tune. They don't. They're a little sturdier. I'm happy with them.
Yeah, and I was reading up on you when this album came out. You've been a member or a leader of the band The Dismembered Tennesseans since when?
You're going to figure out my age if I'm not careful. The 1940s is when we started, which we were in high school at the time, and we have played continuously since that time, and the same band is still operating, although we've had to have personnel changes along the way. There are two original members, and we've got three or four, actually, new. I say new members. That would be 12 to 15 to 20-year time frame.
They're still getting hazed.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's right.
Good. And I also read that you're actually a real estate developer. Is that right?
Well, I was until 2008. And then we were supposed to be developing, but there wasn't any action. Yeah. It just stopped. But we're back into it. The answer is yes, I'm in the real estate business. We develop, we build shopping centers, we manage them, and we have a residential sales force in Chattanooga. So we're in the business.
Nice. And you recorded this new record, which, I mean, it's an amazing record in that it just sounds, very polished and amazing, but it also sounds like you just stumbled into, your front porch and heard you and Bill playing. What was the recording process like? What did you record into? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we have never had it described as being polished.
Jason, if you could see us now, our hats are blown off and the hair is blown back.
All right, good.
Fletcher sent me a list of songs with MP3s and sometimes transcriptions before our recording date, but I'm usually so busy that I didn't have any time to look at them. Although I'd say about at least a third of the tunes are things that I had already heard before, whether it would have been just something that gets played a whole lot, like a song like St. Andreal, or something that I've heard that Earl Scruggs and one of the fiddlers in the Flat and Scruggs band have done as a fiddle and banjo duet. But a lot of these tunes I had not heard before, and I think they reflect Fletcher's fairly diverse repertoire, and he's always searching for tunes, and the process would be such that we would start to play them, and I would figure out what to do, and that took about anywhere from 10 minutes to 20 minutes to sometimes me shedding it overnight while we were asleep, while Fletcher was asleep, and then we would just start to record it, and I don't think that we actually played any of these tunes more than three or four times, and then we stopped, and we just chose the best one, and there's no editing, we just chose the take that felt the best, and went with that. So it is very much a live recording.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, it sounds great. I would love to hear a tune or two from it. So if you guys are tuned up, you want to play something?
This one is entitled Yellow Barber. It's an old time tune. Thank you. That's it. That's Yellow Barber.
Sounded great. Did you guys want to do one more?
Sure. Why don't we do Polly Put the Kettle On? And we want to just play each part
one time.
One time.
One time.
Talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, this is an old-time tune. I got this off of field recordings over in North Carolina by a couple of old-time fiddlers. And they call the tune Polly Put the Kettle On, which has no relationship at all with the tune that you think of as a nursery rhyme. But they played it differently, and I couldn't figure out which one I wanted to use, so I just tagged them together. So the first time you'll hear Marcus Martin's version, and the next one you'll hear a fellow by the name of Bayard Ray. So here is Polly Put the Kettle On.
One, two, three, four.
Fletcher, I'm curious, you've been playing bluegrass music for so long. Do you still have as much fun with it as you did back in the 40s, 50s?
You know, I think maybe more so. Maybe you could argue this. I think I play it a little better than I did then. Mm-hmm. And it's still fun. It's still fun. I think that it would get pretty boring if I didn't keep exploring and learning new stuff, but I think that's the secret, is to keep it going.
Yeah.
But I'm an octogenarian, I guess. Am I using too big a word for you there?
No, it's all right. I know that one.
Okay. But, so, you know, I've been playing it a long time.
Do you get a bigger kick out of playing with the younger guys than the guys who are still around from, you know, when you were from your era?
You know, Jason, the bar gets raised every time a new generation comes along.
Yeah.
That is to say that each one gets better and better, and I've been watching several generations come along. So it really is amazing and fun to watch the youngsters, because, boy, they can really do things that we never even dreamed of doing. So the music is getting better. And, of course, that's a challenge for me to hang on for dear life with all of the newcomers coming along.
Well, what's next for you guys? I know you're wrapping up this festival you're at right now.
Bill, I guess you can tell him a little bit. We're going to another one in the fall.
Yeah, and of course, the Dismembered Tennesseans work lots of festivals all around the South. They're going to be in Asheville, North Carolina right after this camp, and I'll fly back to California. And Fletcher and I will come back together in October. We're playing the Freight and Salvage Coffee House in Berkeley on Thursday, October 10th with Lori Lewis and Tom Rosum. Looking forward to that show. And then we'll be teaching together at the Walker Creek Music Camp in Petaluma, just north of the San Francisco Bay Area. And this year we've been to England, and we taught at the Sore Fingers Bluegrass Week and the Cotswolds in England, and we've been at Steve Kaufman's camp. So we've had a busy year already, and you know, it's a little bit early to tell what kind of what camps we'll be sharing next year, but I hope it's as many as possible. And we're booking, you know, we hope to book additional concert dates here and there as we can.
Could there be a follow-up record in the works?
Well, we've been playing some new material the last couple weeks that we've been together, and I'm really excited. We're playing better now than ever. The more we play together, you know, you just get in sync. And there's something, you know, the fiddle and banjo tradition is really an old tradition. And you know, the attention is in the fine details. And because it's just fiddle and banjo, so there's going to be nothing that knocks you over the head. But you know, the new material we're working on, I'm excited about. And I think maybe we will do another record.
Cool.
What do you think, Fletcher?
Well, we certainly have enough material. We can play fiddle tunes for a long time and still have some.
Yeah.
Well, the album's called Fine Times at Fletcher's House, and it really is amazing. It's just great, pure music, and I can't thank you enough for your time.
Well, yes, sir, thank you.
Thanks, Jason. And, you know, folks, if they want to order that record directly from us, BillEvansBanjo.com is the web store. And I'll make sure Fletcher gets his share of the money sooner or later.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. We'll see you.
See ya.
Bye. Okay.